And so I really would focus on trying to stand out and delivering value over these next couple of years, because at the end of the day, it's the same thing as we've talked about historically with marketing, right? It's positioning, it's demonstrating your expertise, it's offering something of value. Those are the people that are going to win the day in the future, no matter what the conditions in the landscape are.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. Hope everybody's having a great day. I am Steve Fritzen, your host, and lots going on. You know, we've got books on business development. We've got the YouTube channel. If you type in Steve Fritzen, we've got all kinds of fun things that we're doing to help lawyers to grow and develop and build their books of business. You know, it's never too late to start committing yourself to a plan and execution on a plan. So highly recommend that, and happy to take calls to that effect. More importantly, I've got an amazing guest today. He is a legal marketing superstar. He's the host of the podcast Lunch Hour Legal Marketing on the Legal Talk Network, president of Attorney Sync, Guy Sakalakis. Guy, how you doing?
Steve, I'm doing great. Happy New Year. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you, man. So, you know, what's been going on with Michigan? How's the school going? How's the alumni world going? I know you Michigan guys like to stay together.
Yeah, Michigan as a school, I think, is good. I think their football program's got some question marks, but looks like we may see some more Harbaugh, although I heard he's sniffing around the NFL. So TBD on that one.
Okay. Well, the very cool stuff. And, you know, I never do a good job introducing people. So if you wouldn't mind just giving a little more background on yourself and what you're up to.
Sure thing. So my shortish version is that I was a trial lawyer for a blip on the radar, started a digital agency called Attorney Sync. And we basically do web consulting for lawyers, websites, search marketing, paid ads, social, email, all the stuff that lawyers can do to be where their clients are looking for them.
Yeah, that's it. And I think, you know, look, all lawyers need to have a digital presence, a website. They need to be found online, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think it's hard for them to know sort of who to trust or where to go for the right fit for them. Are there particular types of lawyers that you're looking for that are looking for you? Or how do lawyers sort of judge all the different companies and variables and experts that are in this legal marketing space?
Such a great question. And the short answer to that is define success metrics in advance. So I think too many times lawyers get caught up by these sparkly marketing buzzwords like awareness and impression share and, you know, click-through rates. And instead, they should be focusing on the metrics that matter to their practices, you know, even before the web, you know, things like target cost per client or opening a certain number of new cases or files per month. But having those conversations early on with anybody that's going to do marketing on your behalf, I think is really important to be able to avoid any of those misalignments.
And I think similar to business development, you know, in marketing and legal, I think there's a lot of, you know, sort of distrust because they've been hit up for so many years by so many different, you know, big corporations to small, you know, people that are just starting out in legal and really don't know what they're doing, but they're kind of faking it till they make it. And, you know, what should lawyers really be focusing on in making that selection of maybe what they need and who they should be working for? I know you kind of answered that, but maybe take a little deeper.
Yeah, sure thing. You know, ask a lot of questions. Your best weapon is going to be an education. And so I think if you're making the hiring decision, you have to be able to speak the common language. So you got to have some of the basics down. You know, Google and all the major platforms put out some good basic information. But beyond that, I think, you know, get asked for examples of their work, campaigns for lawyers that are similarly situated to you. Ask them about terms of their agreement. You know, I'm always surprised that lawyers sign some of these multi-year marketing agreements without even looking at the terms. And I'm like, you're locked in for an agreement with, you know, no accountability baked into it. So I would avoid long-term commitments. I would look for things like exclusivity, right? So you're not going to work with my competitor down the street. And, you know, ask other lawyers that you know that are having success online, who they're working with and what's worked for them. But ultimately, the more accountability, transparency that we can build into the process, more questions we can ask, I think that's really the best advice I can give.
And then one that rung most true with me outside of asking questions, which is, you know, you have to do that, is validation. I think that that's the thing that separates the, you know, the wheat from the chaff in this point, because for example, when I talk to lawyers that want to work with me, I always have them talk with a few lawyers that have been through my programs and that understand what it takes to be successful, because, you know, I'm only as good as my player. And I think you would say the same. Like if you have a law firm that's working with you, but they're not going to send you the stuff they need to send you, if they're not going to meet with you when they need to meet you, and it's just going to be a long, drawn out, painful process, well, that's no good for you. So I think it works both ways, but I think that's a really big deal, is, you know, being able to talk with other lawyers that have had good experiences and making sure that it's a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you brought up a really good point there, is to set expectations of what the partnership is going to look like, what the expectations are from your end as the lawyer, because as you mentioned, if you don't have clear expectations set and the consultant or marketing person or even just a web developer needs something from you, whether it's an approval or whatever, and you can't give it, you're going to become the obstacle in the process. So it's good for everybody to have a very clear picture of what that is going to, what that engagement is going to look like over the life of the engagement.
You know, let me ask you about something else. Part of the problem I see is that I think a lot of law firms or lawyers, they want to like fix something on their website. They want to improve conversions, or they want to, you know, show that they're diverse, or they want to like accomplish something, but they're not really looking at the big picture. How do you help law firms really identify what the big picture is, so they have more of a like a long play versus a quick hit and run on, you know, updating a page or something that's really not going to make a big, you know, world of difference?
Oh, I know this story well. You know, I always try to pull it back to business metrics, right? So at the end of the day, if you don't have an objective for a year or for a quarter or for a month of what you want to do from a business standpoint, whether that's growing new revenue, whether that's adding a new office location, whether it's, you know, hiring a new lawyer or a certain number of new cases that you want of a particular type, if you can't have those conversations, all the other stuff is just marketing stuff, right? Like updating a page and getting a backlink, or, you know, writing a blog post. That's just the stuff that we're trying to, that's an input that we're trying to use to achieve one of those market, those business objectives. And so I always try to pull it back to, what is your big vision for your practice? You know, what kind of budget, what is the financial situation of your marketing budget? How much time and money are you going to allocate towards actually growing your practice? If you haven't laid that foundation in advance, then you're going to end up buying a lot of stuff and not really knowing where you're going.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's like a lawyer looking at a case. I mean, you have to look at the case as a whole, and then there's lots of pieces that belong to the case, or, you know, it could be, you know, depositions, or it could be evidence, or it could be all these, you know, elements, but it's not really what's the overarching goal. And then what are the metrics that lead to it?
No, that's a great point too. If you put it in that context, you know, the difference between an outcome that you'd have with a client depends on a lot of factors, right? And it's a similar thing on the web. So if you're brand new and you come in gangbusters and you were like, I want to dominate, you know, Chicago for personal injury, for example, guess what? There have been a lot of players that have established themselves over a longer period of time there. And so your outcome of capturing some of that share of voice or some of that market share is going to be a little bit more modest than what it would be, you know, if you'd been running a campaign for a long time. So I think that's a really good point in contextualizing in terms of good outcomes vary depending on the competitive landscape.
Yeah. Let me ask this. I mean, what are the kind of the top three challenges that you see law firms having, or even lawyers having, with their marketing? What are they sort of top three things that they're absolutely missing the boat on?
Yeah. And so this is a really great question too. And the funny thing is a lot of them don't even have to do with like marketing per se, but it's delivering great service. So, you know, we talk a lot about how you can't SEO your way out of a bad reputation. If you're not delivering great service, you know, if you're not empathetic, if you're not showing gratitude, if you're not following up with clients, if you're not keeping them informed about the process, they're going to go leave negative reviews. And you can be in that top local pack spot for a competitive search query, but if you're a 2 out of 5 stars there, even if you're in the top spot, they're going to go to the next one. So I always tell folks, I'm like, focus on your intake process first, focus on those experiences first, focus on all those internal service delivery systems, because if you don't and you pour a lot of gasoline on the marketing fire, you're going to end up having a lot of people that are contacting you that are unhappy because you didn't respond to their email, you didn't follow up, you don't have intake locked down, and all those other problems that arise.
Yeah. So it sounds like the biggest misstep is just not taking care of clients the right way and making sure they have an unbelievable experience. And then let's assume that that's happened, that a firm is taking care of their people and everybody's, you know, above board and all that. Then what are the other elements that they, that a law firm should be looking at doing in 2021 to kind of accelerate, you know, their exposure and how they get sort of business in the door or build better credibility in the space?
Sure. I got two for you. So this isn't novel to 2021, but I think we're going to see a trend here. Lawyers getting more sophisticated about integrated marketing across channels. So a lot of, as you mentioned, lawyers will say things like, I want SEO, or I want someone to manage my Google ads. But the truth is that digital marketing that's integrated across channels. So, you know, an example would be you run a search ad and then you have a retargeting campaign so that if someone came to your site but didn't contact you, you can nurture them as they travel around the web, or you get them on an email nurture campaign and you can drip emails to them that demonstrate your expertise over time. Those integrated approaches work really, really well, and they reduce your cost per acquisition. So instead of spending money on that one click for that one opportunity to get them to convert, now you're going to be able to build a more a longer term relationship. And in many practice areas, lawyers, it makes sense to lawyers. They understand, they're like, this isn't a one call close type of situation. This is a, I got to nurture, I got to build, demonstrate my expertise, I got to build value. And so integrated marketing, I think, is one that we're going to see more of a trend towards. And two is this idea of clusters. That's, I stole that term from Seth Godin. He has a blog post about it. If you search clusters, Seth Godin. But the point here that he makes is that more and more, even though that we are disconnected and even though we're not together physically, we're connected online, and we're connected online in ways that we cluster around things of our interest. So, you know, if you're a Chicago sports person, you're going to go to Chicago sports Facebook groups and Chicago sports Slack groups and Chicago sports email lists and Chicago sports Twitter hashtags. And so identifying those clusters, engaging in those clusters, and connecting with people that have similar interests on those clusters, I think is a really great way to, you know, build, nurture, and solidify relationships online.
Yeah, that's really great. And I guess that's a good lead into social media, because right now, in the last year, I mean, people have been, you know, pros and cons of social media, posting on LinkedIn, you know, oh, there's so much content, you know, I'm just going to get lost. So I don't, why bother? But yet if I don't put anything up, then am I, you know, am I even playing ball? So what are your thoughts on kind of the current strategy as someone, an individual lawyer or a firm should have on social media?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, the big thing there is to make sure that you're focusing on engagement. So a lot of lawyers think, oh, or they're told by their social media experts, you know, post, but you can get a lot more value out of social media engagement by commenting on somebody else's post, by sharing somebody else's content, by participating in a conversation on somebody else's thread or in somebody else's group. So look, I think it's good to have some content out there. I mean, I think there's an expectation that people can find information about your firm. So get the basics up there, get some posts up there that have, you know, who you are, what you do, why you do it, why you're uniquely qualified to do it, so that people can vet you like that, you know, make those connections, because that's a big part of this is this idea of social proof, where you go to LinkedIn and you're considering hiring a lawyer, you want to see if they're mutually connected to other people in your network. So you can say, oh, hey, I see that you're connected with so-and-so. Have you worked with them before? Oh yeah, they're great. That kind of social proof and that kind of engagement stuff, really, really powerful. I would say, don't worry about how much you're posting or how much time you're spending on it. Focus on getting feedback from the audience, because that's the other thing too. All these platforms, they have tools built into them that tell you whether or not what you're posting is resonating. So are people liking what you're writing? Are they sharing what you're writing? Are they commenting on what you're writing? Those are much better indicators than frequency of posting or impressions or even clicks, really.
So it's really quality over quantity if you had to choose one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about it like this. It's the same type of thing you talk about in more traditional networking settings. If you go to a networking event, if you just show up and you don't talk to anybody, then and you say, oh, that networking thing doesn't work. Well, social media is much the same way. If you just go to social media and post stuff and you don't talk to anybody, you're not having a conversation, it's not getting a lot of value on it. You go to a networking event, you meet a lot of new people, you connect with them over time, you're sending them emails, you invite them out for lunch. Same thing with social media. You're going to get a lot more value out of nurturing those connections. And the great news is in the past, when you had to go to networking events, you had to either fly somewhere or go in your car or walk down the street. Now you can do it from the comfort of your own home. That's really the efficiency of social media.
Yeah. So I see that I'm posting quite a bit, but you know, I'm usually just trying to either offer value through events or articles or podcasts like this, or I'm commenting and trying to give like a my angle on something. So, you know, hey, you know, networking doesn't work for me because of this. And then I'll say, well, have you tried that? And so I'm trying to engage that way just as sort of a, you know, hey, here's my two cents. It might be helpful. And that seems to get some reaction and likes and comments back. And now I'm engaging in a social way, and it's right in the name, social media. So I think that sort of lays it out, but it's something that I think a lot of lawyers are hesitant to do. They just feel like they'll get lost in it. But I think, you know, you have to look at where you can add value and which, you know, groups or niche or whatever, might make sense.
Absolutely. And the other thing too, is if you're not one, if your practice and your personality, your style just isn't really one to be having conversations with people online, you don't want to participate in social media, you know, there's also paid social ads. And I think this is one area that I think is missed, is that from a branding or in top of mind awareness standpoint, you know, like for better and worse, because we could talk about this all day of whether social media is actually good for us, which is probably is not good for our brains. But in any event, the eyeballs are there. And so if you want to be that lawyer, the lawyer that someone thinks of, you've got to get into their consideration set. And so a paid Facebook, whether it's a video ad or whether it's a carousel ad or an image ad, or maybe you just it's an ad that links to some content to demonstrate your expertise. Those paid ads can get you very targeted exposure. So you can say, hey, I only want to show this to an audience in Illinois or in the Chicagoland area that has these characteristics. That type of paid social advertising can also be very effective for that top of mind awareness. So, and the challenge there is a lot of lawyers conclude, oh, well, I didn't get any clients from that. And it's like, well, how are you measuring that, right? Are you measuring the referrals that's generated? Are you keeping track of, hey, I read your post on this, or I saw your that? Those types of one-offs are really, really important to factor in, because otherwise what you do is you cut off your nose to spite your face, right? You're like, I didn't get this direct response, like, you know, search, click, call, client funnel. And then you're like, oh, it must not work. And it's like, no, we get conversations all the time where people are like, oh yeah, I've been following you on such and such for years. And that's not a direct response play. That's a brand building, top of mind, nurturing play.
And I feel like years ago, and I could be, the numbers may have changed or the statistic may have changed, but it used to be that, you know, people would need to see your name, your face, your brand, you know, six times, or maybe it's more now, to eventually, you know, make some type of connection or make some type of interaction with it. Is that number still sort of accurate in your point, or is it actually higher than that these days?
Yeah, I think unfortunately, because it's just so saturated, right? You know, we have more lawyers per capita than any country in the world. We've got a bunch of competing places. We even have people outside of legal that are competing for attention for people that are facing legal issues. LegalZoom, you've got alternative owned law firm, alternative, I'm blanking on the acronym, but non-lawyer owned law firms coming. And so if you want to stand out, if you want to be remarkable, again, I don't think it's so much about the volume or the number of times that you're posting. It's much more about, what did you do to stand out? As you mentioned, what value did you add? How are you nurturing that relationship? How are you keeping people engaged? Because, you know, people get feed blindness, right? There's people just scrolling through the feed. It's when people stop and actually either comment or like or share or click through to your website. That's the thing that really helps you stand out to be remarkable. And that's the thing that's going to stick in their mind, not just the number of times you post in a week.
Yeah. So let's move it forward to the future. I mean, we're, you know, to 2021. I mean, what does the next 5 years look like in legal marketing? What are the big changes that we're all going to be seeing? And you're probably ahead of the curve on knowing this stuff.
Well, I think there's going to be a really interesting thing that's going to happen with whatever the outcomes of some of these antitrust lawsuits against the major platforms are, because the short version of that is if we reduce, you know, people are concerned about privacy. So if we reduce the ability to target some of these ads, I think we can expect that we're going to have a lot more waste on our ad campaigns as one thing. You know, the counterpoint to that is that people should, you know, have privacy and be able to opt out. So I think that's going to be a big factor. I think we're going to see a lot more pressure. You know, remember all these platforms, Google, Facebook, they are publicly held companies. They have shareholders. And so they're going to have to keep trying to drive share price. And that's going to mean ads. It's going to be more ads. And so in Google's context, we're already seeing that with the LSA ads. I think we're going to see more of an impact on those against the traditional organic results. I think we're going to see more advertising functionality built out on some of these other major platforms. And I think we're going to see also legal services consumers getting better at filtering. And so it used to be if you were the only game in town online, it was really easy because people would just come to you. That's what they found. But based on the competition, based on, I mean, I can't tell you how many new Facebook ads pop up in the legal context every single day. And so again, I think this idea of consolidation, people can hide your ads if they don't like them. And so I really would focus on trying to stand out and delivering value over these next couple of years, because at the end of the day, it's the same thing as we've talked about historically with marketing, right? It's positioning, it's demonstrating your expertise, it's offering something of value. Those are the people that are going to win the day in the future, no matter what the conditions in the landscape are.
Well, and I think this is a good segue too to talk about marketing and business development and how they interact, because marketing can, as you're mentioning, can fluctuate and change based on certain conditions and regulations and things that are being decided not by us. And business development might have that same, you know, element to it with the ARDC rules or et cetera, but those are actually seeming to lighten up more than they used to be, and they continue to do that. And so maybe that's, you know, that's where people are going to start to look at, you know, hey, I can't do the same amount of ads, or that their ads aren't getting the same kind of run they used to. So I better focus on networking and some boots on the ground type of activities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say the other one I think falls in that camp, even though we don't think of it this way, is email. So the buzzword here is CRM, client relationship management, but I would throw in any kind of referral relationship management, but implementing a tool that helps you regularly stay in contact via email with people in your professional network that prompts you to contact people, even if it's not going to be an automated thing. I think that's a really, really important piece to the future, because that's your professional network database at your fingertips. I'm regularly surprised how many lawyers don't have any kind of CRM solution or client relationship tool in place to manage those relationships.
Yeah, I interviewed Matt Spiegel with Lawmatics, and we talked, you know, about it. And yeah, it needs to change. And I, as a business development coach and trainer, I've spent years trying to get people on CRMs, and lawyers are just so adverse to it. I've end up defaulting to an Excel spreadsheet or things that aren't going to really do everything or even close to what a CRM is going to do. And now the CRMs are getting even more masterful, where you can not only work your email, but your newsletter, and maybe incorporate social media, gathering data on companies and contacts. And, you know, there's all this technology that's now coming into play that's going to only help business development. And I think it's, unfortunately, we need to get people up to speed on that.
Yeah, absolutely. The story I always tell is even today, and it's gotten better, I admit, over the last decade of doing this, but, you know, we would ask, hey, can you send over a file, an export of all of your open cases? And they'd be like, can I fax you a yellow pad, right? That's where a lot of lawyers were. But in fairness, lawyers have come a long way. I think that that's another thing I think with this global pandemic is there's been a lot less fundamental change and a lot more acceleration of trends that we were already seeing. And so I think it was maybe it was the nudge that a lot of folks needed to actually start adopting more of this technology, whether it's video conferencing, social media, CRM, because a lot of these in-person relationship building activities just aren't happening right now.
Yeah, it's tough out there, and it's not getting easier. And hopefully technology will help to make it a little easier if people can adopt it, or if it gets as simple as possible. I mean, it needs to be like something a child or a teenager can use for me too. I'm, you know, I'm 50 years old and I still like to write on paper. I mean, I'm not quite there yet. And I've tried, you know, writing on an iPad and sending that file over and all that stuff. And I don't know, it's hard for, especially for the older people like myself to get a grip on it.
Well, I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I mean, you got this podcast. I see you online. You're very active. I think you're pretty far ahead of the curve.
Maybe. But I still kick myself that I have folders and paper and things that, you know, probably could all be digitized and done through the computer. But anyway, I'm like everybody, we're a work in progress, and we have to just kind of, you know, make the changes we can make. I've got an auto scheduler now for all my appointments, and that's been killing it. That's been amazing for—
Oh, that's huge.
Big time.
And if you can incorporate that into something like a CRM, right? So someone reaches out to contact you, auto schedules and does the follow-up, and you've got all that contact right there. Super, super powerful. I mean, I can tell you even my experience of being a guest today, really, really smooth, right? So scheduled everything, got the follow-ups, had all the information that I needed there. That's the kind of experience we want to be delivering to our clients as lawyers as well, because reducing that friction, giving them better experience, guess what? It leads to more referrals, it leads to online positive reviews, it leads to more business.
Yeah. And I think, you know, everybody needs to sort of figure out their own marketing and business development angles and what's going to make the most sense for them to be successful, you know, in a given year. And so for me, you know, business development, it's always about low-hanging fruit. It doesn't mean that you can't do, you know, networking and things like that. But I mean, again, focus on your past and existing clients, focus on the strategic partners that have sent you business before. And that's where you spend 80% of your time. You're going to work a lot less and get a lot more. From a marketing perspective, and I know it's all over the board, but you know, the one or two things that, you know, law firms should be focusing on, is it making specific improvements to their website? Is it having social media campaigns? I know it varies, but are there kind of like maybe ones that you're seeing that you're focusing on because it's what's hot right now?
Yeah. I mean, for me, and I think it's hot, getting hotter, is Google My Business. It's Google's business listing tool. It's the thing that populates the local map packs when people do legal searches. It's the premier real estate on Google when someone searches on your name, if you have a profile claim there. It's got reviews. It's got your firm contact information. There's an ability to do posts in Google My Business. So, you know, a lot of us in the digital marketing world have been kind of tongue-in-cheek joking that Google My Business is your new website. But, you know, for a lot of folks, especially if you rely on word of mouth referrals and brand, where people are searching on your name or searching on your firm name or searching on some catchy jingle that you do in your TV ads, Google My Business is the thing that they're going to find when they go to Google. And so I think investing a lot of focus there is really valuable. And I think it'll continue to dominate that local search and that brand search on Google.
In addition to that, what other types of sort of, you know, key things are people looking to do in this 2021 to just make sure they're working at a high level?
Yeah, I think that if you can do it, if you can pull it off, if you have the personality for it, you know, get out there and do webinars, do live social. You know, we say these things as consultants and people say, oh, well, it's, you know, it's just not me. And if it's not, don't force it. Sometimes it's a matter of getting some practice. But, you know, again, that delivering value through video content, distributing that on various platforms, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, putting boosts behind it so that you're making sure that video content is getting in front of the right people, being a guest on a podcast. You know, the more that you can get out there, build relationships, make connections online, share your content, deliver value, that's what I'd be going long on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Anything you'd like to promote, or how do people get in touch with you?
Feel free to email me, guy@attorneysync.com. That's guy@attorneysync.com. Head over to Lunch Hour Legal Marketing Podcast if you like talking legal marketing. We love talking marketing over there. And otherwise, I waste a lot of time on Twitter. So if you just do @GYI, my name usually pops up, at Guy Sakalakis on Twitter. And yeah, happy to field questions. And if you disagree with me, come fight me on Twitter.
You like a good Twitter battle.
Yes.
Nice, nice. Well, listen, again, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise with my audience. And I know they appreciate it as I do. So thanks again.
Steve, my pleasure. Great to see you. Take care.
All right. All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for spending some time with Guy and I today. And hopefully you're one step closer to being that lawyer, someone who is confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, be safe, and make it rain.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.